got several out, but we'll make do. Short lesson tonight, it's about prayer. And I was thinking that we have a lot of prayers in the Bible that we could use as models, something that we could follow along with. And really, most of the Psalms are basically prayers in written form. And they're wonderful. There's no doubt about that. And many of these prayers are worthy of repeating and understanding these things. Now, we are commanded to pray. Several places in the New Testament, Jesus told us men ought to pray always. And Jesus said that. And then, of course, his disciples, his apostles, said that we ought to pray. Paul told Timothy, we need to pray. And so, yes, we need to pray. And Peter said, you need to pray. And I was thinking about it. And you know, the disciples one time came up and asked Jesus, because this was one of Jesus' routines, was to pray on a regular basis. And they came up and said, teach us to pray. And you'd think that might be strange, because they were all Jews and they all been going to the synagogue practically their whole lives, and yet they still had to say, will you teach us to pray? So they had difficulties there. And you wonder why. And I got to thinking, we do read about people who prayed in the Old Testament, but going through the law, there's not one place in there that says, or a command to pray. Just not there. Some people communicated with God and they talked with God, and so maybe they didn't realize that was praying, but that's what they did. But we're going to talk about a model prayer, and it's a quick lesson. It would be good to review prayers recorded in the Bible and choose thoughts to apply to our own conditions or situations. There's some prayers that are spoken in just one or two verses, and then there's some, the whole book, the whole chapter is a prayer in itself. And like I said, many of the Psalms, we could repeat the Psalms as a prayer, and that's how it would go up as a prayer, because that's what they originally were. And there's so many to choose from when you decide, well, which one can we use as a model prayer? And I can think of several that I kind of like have on my top 10 list. There's several prayers that are on there that just says so much and means so much. And we could talk about those. But we're going to review one prayer for this lesson. And it's going to come from a source that you may not realize, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7 through 9. And of course, these are the words of Agur. And as he says this prayer, now you would think that it wouldn't be a long wordy prayer. And in this case, it is not. It's just three verses. All right, let's just read it real quick. It says, two things I asked of thee. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. I mean, very simple, very easy to comprehend. And so the two things I asked of thee, and I was thinking about just two. I mean, when I get ready to pray, there's a whole lot of things on my mind. I know that. And two things? What are two things? How could I possibly take all these things and just narrow it down to just two things? Can you imagine if you had to make a decision, you had to narrow it down to just two things? I mean, you have, we see this on Facebook all the time. We have pictures with a whole bunch of different kinds of food or different kinds of ice cream or cookies, and you can only pick two out of, but they're all good. We like them all, or at least most of them. And so, just two? So it would be hard to categorize and subcategorize all these things and narrow them down to just two things. But the writer of Proverbs was wiser than most people, so let us look at his example. And really, he has a knack, the writer in Proverbs, all of the writers, Solomon, Agur, and Lemuel, they all had the ability to say a whole lot with so little. With so few words, they said so much. And this going along, when he says, two things I ask, he said, don't refuse me before I die. And so before I die, I'm asking for these two things. That's what he does. In order for this to happen, we must live righteously. For God to hear our prayers and respond to our prayers, we have to be in a right relationship with him. We have to be living righteously. Because we know what Proverbs says about the prayer who refuses to listen to God, even his prayer is an abomination. And so we have the assurance from God that he will never leave or forsake any who are faithful. And so that's true. I mean, we have that recorded in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And throughout the Psalms, there's quite a few Psalms that make reference to the fact God doesn't forsake his righteous ones. He doesn't leave any of them. And so if we make the effort to be living as we should, God will not refuse any of us. And he will not refuse our prayers. So, the thing is, we have to make the effort. If we don't make the effort, there's going to be problems. The first thing he asked was, keep deception and lies far from me. Well, how's that going to happen? First of all, turn off the TV, stop listening to people, and it'll work that way, right? We still watch TV, we watch the news, and deception is there. Advertisers, they operate by deception. They make you think that, well, if you get our product, you're going to have this or that, and you're going to have a nice skinny body, and everybody's going to look at you and think how beautiful you are. That is if you buy our product. Now, you buy the other people's product, that's not going to happen. I mean, you drink our beer, and guess what? You're going to have the fun. You drink somebody else's beer, you're going to get drunk. So, I mean, advertisers, they work off deception. And sometimes, by law, they cannot tell you the truth about what their product does. Just not allowed to. So, but really, nobody likes to be lied to. And we know that. At least they should not like it. Some people get, basically we get used to it. And we know that there's some people, they're lying to us. When a politician comes on, that's their MO, that's what they do, they lie. They tell these stories making you think, well, we're taking care of you, but they're not. And so we should not like it. But as much as we might think that we would not want to know something bad, deception does not prevent such. And when we eventually learn the truth, we are hurt that we were not told immediately. You know, have you ever had that? Something happened, maybe a loved one or family member, and they kind of, don't tell them yet, don't tell them yet, don't tell them yet. Then finally you find out later on, and why didn't you tell me? I mean, we've all been in that situation. And the second thing says, give me neither poverty nor riches. In other words, just enough to be content. That's what we need. See, we do not want to be poor, but we also realize too much is dangerous. You know, you get too much, I mean, yeah, you get a lot of money. Look what happens. Look at these movie stars and look at these athletes that get these huge contracts. And then they don't know how to budget their money and they just go off into ruin. It's dangerous. And the key is to learn to be content with what we have. Just like Paul said there in Philippians chapter 4, I've learned to be content in prosperity and in poverty. Be happy with what we got. That's what we need to do. Learn to be content. Learn not to covet what others have. We might be looking at others and think, well, they've got it made. They got this big fancy house, they got nice cars, and they got this or that. And what you don't see is their mortgage payment. What you don't see are their bills. And then maybe, well, wait a minute. If I got those things, I'd have to be paying for those things. So you got to learn not to covet what others have. And if you got a vehicle that gets you where you need to go, then you should be content with that. Learn not to be envious of what others have. I mean, sometimes that's hard because our society is built in such a way that if you don't have what somebody else has, you're less fortunate. And that's how they treat us. You're less fortunate, so you're lower down the totem pole or something like that. No, learn not to be envious of what others have. Just simply feed me with the food that is my portion, what I need. Yes, not too much, not too little. Not too much where I get overweight and become a glutton. Not too little that I'm starving. Just right. That's all we really want. Just right. We must learn to be satisfied just as much with a tuna fish sandwich as with the lobster dinner. Yeah, we can be satisfied with that. And you don't have to have that fancy stuff. Learn not to be wasteful, as there are others who are without. You know, it only costs a few dollars to fix a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then you can figure you can go out to the restaurant and spend $40 for the two of you and get a small meal, maybe not even have enough to bring leftovers home. Now, all that money, I mean, you think about that. So the less we're out being wasteful, the better it is. I'm not saying it's wrong to indulge every now and then. Yeah, it's nice to go out and get a nice steak dinner. It's nice to go out and get some seafood or go to a restaurant that you like or get a sandwich that you like. There's nothing wrong with that. Just learn not to be wasteful. Now, an explanation is here. This is what the writer says here. In verse 9, he gives us the reason for what was asked in verse 8. Simply, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? And then when we have enough, we need to remember God provided this meal. God provided us our homes. He provided us our jobs. God has provided us for us in so many different ways, and sometimes we don't give him the credit that he deserves. I mean, we just need to have enough. If we continue to be satisfied with what we have provided, what God has provided, see, if we think we've done it all, we might begin to take credit. You know, some people do that. You know, like some farmers. Well, Lord, you didn't do anything for us. We planted, we toiled the land, we turned the soil, we planted the seed, we kept the weeds out, and we're eating the crop of our hands. I mean, that's... I remember a movie one time, the guy up there said that. I said, really? That's not really a prayer. So anyway, but if we do things we think we're doing on our own, well, look what I have done. Remember Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4? He looked out, look what I've done. And then the Lord struck him down. All right. And then the second reason, or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. See, hunger is powerful and can lead to several things for our basic survival. And really, when people get desperate, they go to extreme measures. Sometimes they feel they have to steal for their food or other items that they can use to buy food. You know, it's the same thing with addiction. People get addicted to drugs. Drugs cost a lot, so they run out of money. They start taking from family, get what they can there, and then at the next resort, they start stealing from people and taking things from others to buy their drugs or buy their food. So doing this will bring a bad reputation upon not only you, but upon God. You're supposed to be a child of God, and that's the way a Christian is supposed to act? No, it's not. See, many prayers to choose from. Like I said, there's so many in there, and each one you can break down and look at the words of that prayer and recognize the great meaning behind them. And sometimes the most effective prayer is the simple prayer. Some people want to throw a lot of words into their prayers and make it sound really austere and fancy, or use the old-fashioned language of these and thous. But really, the most effective prayer is the simple prayer. Like the publican, Luke 16, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." I mean, sometimes that's really all we got to acknowledge to God. God, I have sinned. Please be merciful to me. And learn to be faithful to God, and God will not refuse you. We know that's true. He's made that promise. He will not let his faithful ones suffer hunger. He will not let our children suffer hunger. And so he's going to watch out for us. So learn to be content with what you have, and your outlook in life will be much simpler. So that's it. Simple lesson, easy lesson, but think about that. And like I say, get a chance, look at the prayers in the Bible. And they have lists all over the internet. You can go on to Google. How many prayers are in the Bible? And what is the list of the prayers of the Bible? And it'll tell you. It'll take you all through from all the way from the beginning all the way to the end of everybody who prayed and what they said, and usually stories that talk about the meaning behind those prayers. So there's a lot of information out there if you'll just look it up. So think about those things. That's our lesson. We're going to sing one verse of our invitation song, and that'll be it. So we invite you to come while we stand and sing.